We can turn into our Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If there's one thing that God impressed on me last year, it was that the body should be speaking and sharing more, and it should be more like a living room experience. It should be comfortable. You should not feel afraid to be able to share, even share your burdens or share testimony, boldly declare your love for God, just to be unashamed and not be afraid that somebody's going to make fun of you or look at you or judge you or something like that. So that's all of 2016, all the ups and downs and the trials and difficulties and the mistakes and the wonderful things. What's it boil down for me is that God wants his bride to really be fully there, not neglecting any gift, you know, not coming short of any gift. Why would we shortchange the blood of Christ, what he died for? He rose and then he showered us with gifts. He gave gifts unto men, mankind, all of us. So he has something for you, guaranteed in blood. Amen. Chapter 6 brought us into the Christian Journal. Different titles that we could come up with. This is a Christian Journal, and Gretchen had some type of study that you had a book and you opened up the chapter, and it was this chapter in Corinthians, and it talked about this being a Christian Journal as well. So at least one other person on the planet saw that as well. It's like, wow, this looks like the Christian Journal. This looks like something we'd write in our journal every day, something to this effect, one of these items. Praise God for that. It's a very exciting chapter. Just stuff kept coming out of it. And it's going to be hard to leave this chapter. But I think we might today. I'm not sure. We'll see how it goes. Another title might be just the grace of God. The grace of God. That could be the title of your journal. On the covers of your journal is the grace of God. Because in verse 2, that's what it's talking about. This is the time that God has called us. In chapter 6 there. We're workers together with him. That could be another title. Yoked with Jesus. You can imagine that on the diary or the journal, your notebook that you have, your daily record. Workers with Jesus in his yoke. And that's verse 1 there. Another one perhaps would be the groaning. Just that would be the title of your journal, the groaning. Because there's some of that in here as well. But all those titles apply. There is groaning that we have in this tent, in this earthly life. If someone tells you that it's heaven now on earth, we get a deposit of heaven now. That's for sure through the blood of Christ. But there's going to be groaning. We just saw that in chapter 5. So part of that revealed is in chapter 6. So this groaning that happens in this tent. The experience that we have in this life every day. Billy Graham's wife, when she was asked about what it's like to be Billy Graham's wife, basically. And she talked about the challenges and she said, you know, it's the everyday, you know, really. That's the greatest challenge, is that every day. The kids got to be fed again, and when the one, you know, Franklin's in trouble again, and all of this. And praise God, the groanings. So that could be another part of the title of your journal. But all of those things are important. They're truths that are to sandwich your daily life. You're workers together with him. In verse 1 there, that has to be a truth. It's not just your journal. It's not just the diary of Mindy Mullins. It's not just the diary of Josh. It's not just the diary of Gretchen. It's Gretchen with Christ. It's Josh with Christ. It's easy for Josh because his name means Jesus, Joshua. Salvation comes. Jesus with Jesus. Amen. The grace of God, of course, an important one. And we don't want to take that in vain. How do we take the grace of God in vain? Well, we don't live the Christian life. We don't live the fullness of the revelation of Christ in us. We hide the light under a bushel. We stop being salt. We become diluted. We become watered down. We lose our saltiness. So we came up through verse 3 there, not giving offense. That's not our desire to be offensive, but we will offend. We will be accused and falsely so. But it is not our intention. We don't set out to be obnoxious, or that's not the goal. Our goal is to see people saved. All things, approving in verse 4, ourselves as ministers of God. Approving ourselves, this is a very key point. We are to be sure of our salvation. Roger, you're to be sure of your salvation. Paul, speak to myself. I'm to be sure of my salvation. When? Next week? When there's an event? No, right now, today. Now is the time. It's always today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Don't worry about that. Today is the day to have this approving going on. Approving ourselves. Not approving ourselves unto God. That's already been done. We've already been approved. You've been chosen. You've been called. That's already done. The blood proves that. The cross proves that. This approving is us rising up into that reality and knowing that we're grasping what has grasped us. We're apprehending what's apprehended us, as Paul would say, Paul the Apostle. But in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God. Ministers of God. And that ties us back to what our calling is. Able ministers of God, of the gospel, of grace. How are we able? What enables us? As soon as you receive the Holy Spirit, you're enabled. It's not 1 year school, it's not two, it's not five, not 15. It's immediately. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you're enabled to be a minister of God. We're entering into that approving during our daily life. What does that look like? Well, that first page of our journal says much patience. The table of contents says much patience. And at the end of that story, possessing all things in verse 10. So sandwiched in that, between the covers of grace, we have possessing much patience and then possessing all things. So we're going to see two different lists in here in your journal, and we could probably categorize each one of these things that is listed in one of those two categories. Whether it's going to be the much patience, that's the endurance. It comes from the word standing, hupos something. It's the standing on something. It's enduring. It's getting through it. It's the things that we've grown through. It's the grinning and bear it. It's the enduring. That's not a fruit of the Spirit there, that patience, that word right there in verse 4. It's much patience, the enduring through this. That's the groaning. Then much possession in verse 10. That is the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to see the fruits of the Spirit come through that. And part of that is the patience that comes from God. And it's called long suffering. All right, I think we left off in verse 6 there. We'll read right up to it since we've been kind of summarizing. Much patience in necessities, distresses, afflictions in verse 4 there. Then in verse 5, we have stripes and imprisonments. Those things go together there, beatings and imprisonments. Tumults. We talked about fake news. And who's the author of fake news and confusion? The devil. And he's going to be mentioned here in this chapter later, Belial. This false stuff starts building and snowballing, and you have a riot happening, so a tumult. So that certainly Paul was a witness to that, and he speaks to that in chapter 7, actually. And we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll take a sneak peek there. Stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, working day and night, so the sewing of tents, that laborious calling unto God that he did. In watchings, that sleeplessness, being woken up by the Spirit, being in prayer and fastings, those two linked together there, the watchings and the fastings, those are linked together. And we talked about last week, we announced something that God would have us do for the next 39 days, starting last Sunday, and that is to be meditating on his word, and it's a waiting and a meditation. Waiting and meditating on God's word. If you don't know what that means, it's a great opportunity to learn what that means. A good point to start with is learn the story of Martha and Mary. To know what it means to wait on the Lord. They were both waiting on the Lord. One was like a waitress waiting on the Lord, making dinner. And the other one was waiting on the Lord by waiting to hear the next words that would come out of his mouth at his feet. One chose the better part, and that was Mary. And that's a good point to start with. Like, what does it mean to wait on the Lord? That's a great place to start. That's a word for this church, this little church here. That's a word that God would have. He has some things to tell us, and he wants us to dig in and meditate on his word. Like Psalm 1, meditate on his law day and night. And so I've been posting that on Facebook on our church page. Every 3 or 4 days, I'll post a truth, which comes from the Ten Commandments, and then how Jesus fulfilled that truth. That's like the truth and the way and fulfilling that truth, because of the commandment, just the commandment itself, you're left condemned. You need the how-to. That comes with all of it's Jesus. Jesus is the way, truth, and then you're going to find life in the meditation. It's going to come alive to you. You're going to find, wow, this is so cool. Or you're going to find this heavy conviction, and you're going to get more territory given over in your heart to God. Awesome things are going to happen. I promise you from him. I promise you from him, awesome things are happening. Wake up in the middle of the night. Use that time. Day and night, it says in Psalm 1. meditating on the law of God. So his truth and the way he fulfilled that truth, which empowers you to do it. Amen. So that's awesome. Watchings and fastings, all coming from that. This is your Christian journal, folks. It's not just, 39 days is a project here. I don't want to get program oriented. That's your life. That's your journal. Watchings and fasting, that's normal Christian life. Especially encouraging that now in our church body, though. Fastings goes along with that watching. It tunes you in. You're focused on seeking the Lord. You're meditating more, refusing to do things that are of the flesh. Getting on to verse 6 here. By pureness, by knowledge, those two things link together. Pureness and knowledge. There is something pure about the truth of God. There's something so pure about it. And we're going to talk about light today. Light that is so pure. It's so amazing. Pureness by knowledge, by long suffering. That word is an awesome word. It sounds like a scary word. We don't like either one of those, especially when they're put together, waiting in a line for a long time. Long and suffering put together doesn't sound like something that we want to run right up and sign up on the sheet for, but it's part of the Christian journal. And an understanding of this helps you tremendously, that it's not just like a bummer kind of thing. It's not one of the groanings. It isn't. This is a fruit of the Spirit. The first thing mentioned here, the much patience, that's the groaning part. That's the enduring and standing and standing. I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm going to believe in true grit and that kind of integrity and staying and hanging in there. Hanging in there, guy. Hold on. That kind of stuff. That's that patience right there talked about in verse 4. This long suffering is what fuels that patience. This word broken out is long, and this suffering is heat. It's macro in the Greek. Big, and it's thermos, the second word. Long heat, lots of heat. And that's a fruit of the Spirit. That's an empowerment of God that he gives to us. He gives a furnace inside of us that's burning, that's able to withstand the enemy, that's able to stand. That's how I'm able to have much patience. And this is a possession that I have in Christ and that you have in him. Much patience, much possession, long suffering, much heat is the empowerment that comes through that. Burning some sap, not burning it, boiling some sap yesterday. Oh, I didn't take it off the wood stove. It might be burning. That's okay. It'll be maple candy by this afternoon. But looking at that fire and just realizing that, that's what hell is going to be like. An inferno of a fire, a fire that doesn't go out. Looking at that more and looking at this word, this much heat, we are to have that fire. That fire, this fire that's being talked about is also wrath, it's anger, it's heat, it's passion. And it's something of God burning in us. We're to have that fire now. We're to have some of that fire now in us. That's the salt in a Christian. This is a really intense type of teaching, okay? This is awesome if you get it. Jesus is called the rock. And that rock is either going to fall on you and fall on humanity in a type of judgment and crush them, or one of two things, or you're going to fall on that rock. And communion, the celebration, speaks to that. We're falling on the rock. We're giving our lives over. We're consuming Jesus. We're taking him in. We're releasing our life into him. The fires of hell. That's the wrath of God, created not for man, but for the devil and his angels, the demons. That wrath of God, that fire is either going to be my eternity, or a little bit of that now, is going to be burning in my heart. A little bit of that wrath, a little bit of that passion of God is going to be burning in my heart and consuming that wicked heart of mine, purifying. Jesus said, come buy of me gold refined with fire. This is what he's talking about in the Christian journal here. This is this fire. We either get it now or we're going to have it for eternity. We're going to be consumed by it in eternity, or allow our wicked heart to be consumed now in the passion, in that great long passion of God by having the Holy Spirit indwell us. Long suffering is an empowerment of God. It's a fruit of the Spirit, macrothermal, much long heat. By kindness. Now you can see how those two go together. Long suffering, much passion, much heat. In the midst of trouble, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of being put down, in the midst of your enemy, God has prepared a table for you. There you are, a situation, and now kindness is coming out. Another fruit of the Spirit. The same Spirit. That's that consuming fire. We sing it. God, consume me. Consume me. Consume me. That's a good thing we're singing that now. Because now is the time to be down on our knees. Every knee will bow. Now is the time to do it. Not after you pass on. Because every knee will bow then. It's another type like that. Now is the time to get on our knees and acknowledge Jesus. Then it's too late. Now is the time to take that consuming. Our God is the consuming fire. And to take that in and allow it to burn out the dross in our heart. The junk in our heart, the selfishness, allow it to burn out. We don't want that fire then, in that eternity. We don't want to be ultimately just totally consumed by it then, for eternity. That's his wrath without the love. By the Holy Ghost, this ultimate supplier, of course, by love unfeigned. You break out love, the nature of God, and it's the components of love. And you have long suffering, much heat. You have kindness. You have gentleness. He's demonstrated that all over in our creation. It's so obvious to me. And you have a burdock, which is up there in our vase. You know, that's the fruit. The hook of the burdock is the fruit. And the object of the fruit is to lay its life down for the truth, which is the seed. And then it's done. The apple is to give its life. Why? Because so the apple can be praised? No, so it can give, that seed can be dispersed. Love is always laying down its life. Husbands, love your wives. Lay down your life for them. That they may be washed by the water. The word, the truth, would become manifest in them. And that's verse 7. The word of truth by the power of God. The transformation happens here. It says in the last chapter there that God has now shined his light. He's spoken light, not on a formless void of creation anymore. That was back in Genesis, but he referred to that. He says now that light is not shining on a formless void of earth. Now it's here. It's on man's heart. He's looking to transform this, the heart of man. That's the power that's happening. And when this transformation happens, then this happens. The renewing of the mind. The light starts to go up to here. It moves into the mind and the mind becomes renewed. But it has to happen here first. If you're trying to learn the goodness of God through your mind and trying to make a convert into your heart, it doesn't work. That's called religion. You will fail. You will be miserable and make everyone miserable around you. You have to have transformation of the heart. And become a new creature in Christ. All things are new. You have to have the holy fire of his Spirit burning inside of you in order to have this mind functioning correctly and being renewed daily. So the word of truth by the power of God, hand in hand. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and the left. Armor of righteousness on the right hand and the left. These are things that are possessions that you find as you're in the journal, you're writing this journal. Why do you write journals? What are you doing? You're discovering things, you're learning things, you're beholding things. And one of the things that as a new believer you behold is this armor of righteousness. I've got some awesome armor. I've got some armor that God has provided. Possessing all things. I come into know this thing that I've already had all along, but I'm just coming into an awareness of it even more. How does that happen? Through labors, through watchings, through fastings, stripes, imprisonments, necessities, distresses, afflictions, oh my! That's how I realize these much possessions that I have in Christ. Otherwise, I'll never know it. I'll never know it until that fiery dart hits it. Tink! What was that? Tink, tink! What's going on? The fiery darts of the enemy are coming. Daily. This indeed is the Christian journal. On the right hand and the left, Paul described it from all sides. Let's take a sneak peek in chapter 7 there, just to give a practical example of what he was talking about. In verse 4, great is my boldness of speech toward you, great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all tribulation. Go figure that out. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. Watching, sleeplessness. But we were troubled on what? Every side. It's not just about where your strength is. Your right arm is usually where your strength is. And you'll see that in the Bible, the right hand of God, and referring to the strength. Jesus is on the right hand of God. It refers to our strength. Our access to God is through Jesus. So He is our strength. So thinking of the right, that's kind of how we go at life, is with our strength, kind of going at the right. And this is our weak part. But realizing that in our weakness, we are strong. All of a sudden I see, wow, this is really in my weakness on this left side is really where I discover the armor of God that I have before this side. This I'm familiar with. I know how to get along in life. You know, I know how to deal with life and how to get around situations and stuff like that. But on my left, these are the parts that I hide from people. This is my weakness. It's on the right and the left. I'm fully covered on all sides. I'm fully covered in this armor of God. What an awesome armor it is. You go to Ephesians 6 and learn about the armor of God, and the conclusion of that, right in the center of that, the epitome of that is to be able to stand. To be able to stand, what verse 4 is talking about. Much patience, much standing. Much standing. Put your head on the pillow at night. Little smile at God. Lord, we stood together in the face of the enemy. Thank you for the joy that you showed me in laying a table out in the presence of my enemy. Let's keep going on that journal. Pen still got plenty of ink. By honor and dishonor. By evil report and good report. What are we talking about by this? Let's go back to verse 4 just in case we forgot. In all things, approving ourselves. This is how we grow confident in our identity in Christ. We've already been blessed and approved. We're not trying to earn points with Him. This is just helping us come to an awareness of that. Approving ourselves as ministers of God. I'm being approved and disapproved. This is evidence that I am a minister of God, a child of God. This is something to rejoice in. If I'm persecuted, I rejoice. Why? Because that's evidence that I'm a child of God. It's not earning anything with Him. It's just like, oh, cool, yeah. Yeah, that's who I am. It's coming to a greater awareness of it. I mean, we need to do that. We need to examine ourselves. Part of the communion time is that, proving ourselves. So in honorable times and dishonorable, when we're dishonored, don't disrespect me, man. Where'd you get that? I see here, this is part of the Christian experience, being dishonored and honored. Dishonored and honored. Why? Because He was. Our Master was. Jesus was. He was spit on. His beard was plucked out. His back was pulled apart. I'm just following the rabbi. By evil report and good report. Totally fabricated story about you. If that doesn't get your hair up on the back of your neck, I'm not sure if you're breathing. I mean, it's one thing to have an accusation when it's sort of true, but to have something completely made up, that's part of our life in Christ. That's part of being a child of God. This is part of approving ourselves as that, being sure of our salvation, being sure of our identity. These are reminders of who we are. This is us. Honor and dishonor, evil report and good report. As deceivers and yet true, being accused of being a liar, being accused of being a deceiver. Yet your heart is pure and it's true in a situation. And you feel like explaining yourself, you feel like, well, let me set you aside, and then no matter what you say, they just look at you like, yeah, right. And okay, whatever. And that kind of stuff. And then you try to explain some more, and then you're exhausted and you get frustrated. Don't say anything. Just accept it as this is part of the experience of who I am as a child of God. I will be falsely accused. I will be called a liar. I will be called all sorts of things. And that's because I'm in fellowship with this fire, this consuming fire, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Is unknown and yet well known. Unknown yet well known. What's being well known? Is popularity, heads turn when you're in the room? No, it's not. Jesus lived pretty much in obscurity. He tried, even when the crowds were swelling, to get away to a mountain and not to have that type of thing. That really wasn't a popularity thing. He tried to avoid that. His life was not about that, but people would have to make him king, especially when we did miracles and feeding them. Unknown, yet well known. The most significant knowing in your life is not a husband and wife. It isn't a deep friendship with somebody. It isn't a teacher to student. It's the living God that knows every hair on your head, knows every thought before you speak it. And his thoughts toward you are as the sand of the sea, innumerable. Maybe we could have a couple thoughts toward someone a day. That's the kind of knowing that supersedes everything. That makes me feel wonderful. There's a God that thinks about me in that capacity, knows every hair on my head. The one that cares about the sparrow that falls to the ground. How much more? How much more does he care about Alec? How much more does he care about you? He knows you're laying down. He knows you're rising. Let that be enough. As dying, and behold, we live. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. Peter, John, I think it was, going by. Silver and gold, have we none? Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. Be healed. Making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. There you have it. One page in the journal. Christian. The first part of this chapter is about that experiencing God and coming to that place of possessing these things. Possessing this armor. Alex knowing that he has this armor of God now. Paul knowing that, wow, I have life eternal now, and it's a reality to me in my heart. This is happening right here. The revelation's happening in the heart in these verses that we have read. Through these labors, through these watchings, these fastings, through the bad report, through the good report, through the dying, but behold, we live, through the chastening, all of this. This is happening. Jesus is being revealed. The fire is happening inside of us. Now, this next part of this chapter is going up here. Now it's applying it with a mind and putting it out there. It's how we think. It's our thought life. How we process things, our decisions that we're making. Proper order here. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. There's backsliding and there's front sliding. Front sliding is the worst. Backsliding is bad enough. Backsliding is falling into the traditional sin list that it's all over the Bible. Lying, adultery, fornication, gossip, all these things. Drunkenness, riotousness, all these things. Front sliding is getting into dead works and religion. Paul was a little more, how do you describe it? To the Galatians were front sliding. The Corinthians were backsliding here a little bit. So he says, O Corinthians, my heart is enlarged to you. And the Galatians, he says this, O foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Who tricked you? How could you have the grace of God? How could you begin in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and go into a direction of works and dead religion? How can you grab a hold of the shadow when you have the living God in your heart? You're foolish. That's front sliding. That's the worst. We think sometimes the opposite. Well, somebody's, they get caught up in the sin, and that's bad. But it ain't the worst. The worst is the Pharisees. And churches are filled with them. They're front sliders. They've entered into judgmentalism. Their heart has grown cold, and it's all up here. It's all up here. They don't have revelation happening in the heart. And they're just making converts of what they are, mental Christians. Man, share your heart with people. Be light to people. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. You are not restricted in us, but you are restricted in your own bowels, your own passions, your own lusts. Just talked about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and Jesus is that Spirit. Just a few chapters ago, there's liberty, there's freedom. And he says, you're not restricted in us. If anything, just the opposite. You're being set free. But you're restricted by your passions, your lusts, your fleshly desires. O Corinthians, our mouth is open to you. Our heart is enlarged. And now in verse 13, he says, now for a recompense or return in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Listen to what Paul is saying here. Our mouth is open to you. Our heart is enlarged. Our heart is enlarged. Why? Because of distresses, much patience, and much possession of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is enlarged. I forgot to bring a blanket. But if they have this blanket of grace that I've demonstrated before, you know, we have this covering us. And this is the demonstration that we're doing to others in our lives. We're just going around and covering them. We're just including people in the grace that is already over us. It's not giving something, well, maybe I'll give you something, I don't know, you know, something of your own. It's something we've been given, and it's infinite. It just, the blanket keeps getting bigger. You know, it's not like, well, this is short. I mean, it's kind of, it's, you know, Gretchen's always pulling the covers off me. It's infinite. It's able to cover. You'll never run out. It's long and it's hot. Long suffering, long heat. It's thermal underwear. Cover everyone around you. Corinthians, our mouth is open to you. Our heart is enlarged. Think of the blanket going out. You're not restricted by us. You're restricted by your own fleshly desires. That's the issue going on with you. That's what's holding you back, is the compromise in your life. Maybe the compromise is bringing them into a place where, hey, you know, I'm not going to get an evil report. Man, they disrespected me. I'm going to hang around people that just tell me good things. I'm going to surround myself with an environment that just builds me up. That's compromise. That's fleshly. That's backslidden. In that compromise, you'll just keep feeding your flesh and you'll be doing all sorts of things that are fleshly to keep that flesh going. The flesh needs to be crucified. There's a parking spot for it on the cross. Yours truly, right there, park it. So the encouragement is our heart going out to you. Now let your heart go out to others in verse 13. In returning the same, let your heart, I speak to you as my children, be also enlarged. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? Two kingdoms, very clean and clear, he's going to bring out here. No confusion, no fake news, no tumultuous confusion of the mind. Two kingdoms, and he's going to talk about the citizens of that kingdom and the environment of that kingdom. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You can bring that into marriage. You can bring that into businesses. That's yoking up with somebody, working together with them for a common goal. Our yoking is to be with Christ ultimately. That's who we are yoked with. And in that yoking, others come to be yoked with us. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What in common has righteousness with unrighteousness? And these are the things you'll find in a marriage. These are the things you'll find being yoked with other people, is that what do you have in common to reach that goal? What do you have in common to raise children? What do you have in common to meet these business goals and so forth? What do you have in common in a church body? Hopefully, righteousness of God. What communion has light with darkness? So two kingdoms being described in several ways here. The first, the citizens of the kingdom, which are you, believers, discussing that. And the kingdom is described as one of righteousness. And then the kingdom, other kingdom is called one of unrighteousness. The next one, what communion has light with darkness? There's a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of light is one of righteousness. The kingdom of darkness is one of unrighteousness. Just making it perfectly clear for all of Corinth and all of us. What concord or what agreement has Christ with Belial, which is the devil, Belial? Or what hath he that believes with an infidel? So now in the kingdom, kingdom of light, kingdom of righteousness is headed by Christ. Now you have the person of Christ, the headship, the head of the body is Christ. Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of unrighteousness, you have Satan. Two kingdoms. The two kingdoms are oil and water, they should not mix. What consent or agreement has the temple of God with idols? Now we're describing the kingdom of God, light and darkness, Christ and Satan. Now we're talking about the temple of God and idols. You are a temple of God. You are not an idol. You are a temple of God, the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Praise God. That's chapter 6. Very important that the first part becomes before the second part. This separation from the world and its ways, it cannot happen through a mental process. You will end up with not 10 commandments, you will end up with 1,000 commandments. You will end up with 10,000 commandments because you'll keep finding loopholes. Oh, you can't lie. What about this situation? Oh, I can't commit adultery, but can I look? How long can I look? 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds? That's up here. That's mind games. That's not where Christ dwells. He dwells in the heart. He's shining his light on the heart. He wants the separation and sanctification to happen in the heart. The men were just there in 1 Peter. It says, sanctify your hearts. Sanctify your hearts. Give more and more over to God. Yeah, we say we give it all to him, but really what's happening is it's more and more and more as we do that. There's more ground. It's like, wow, I didn't know that was there. Give it over to him. Wow, even more discovered. Give it over to him. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. I had a dream about my dad last night. It's interesting that this last verse finishes with that. And it's troubling to me a little bit. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I know that could be a stigma for some people. Depending on relationships that you had with a father, you might not understand what that is supposed to be like. My relationship with my dad has issues. My relationship with my son has issues. And I would never want those issues to be conveyed to be what is the pure relationship that God would have with me. And my dream was about pleasing my dad, and we're cutting wood. I wasn't doing it right. I'm 52 years old and I'm having dreams that I just can't do it right for dad. And he was always supportive and everything like that. You know, he doesn't the put down kind of dad. I can't imagine what that's like. But still, there was because of the separation, there's that feeling of rejection. When he slammed the door, he didn't slam the door on my mom. He slammed the door on me. That hurt. That hurt really bad. And it still does, and I dream about it. And I don't know how to ever fix that. But I know it distorts my understanding of this, and I don't want it to. I don't want it to distort what God is as a father to me. And what my relationship with my son was like, I don't want that to distort either. What God is, he's a perfect God. In him dwells no darkness at all. He is perfect towards his children in the discipline, in the love, everything. He is perfect towards us. And that's who we ultimately have to do with. We struggle in our marriages. We struggle as parents, and we're imperfect. And Jesus said that. He recognized that. He says, you who are evil, this is no surprise. You parents who are evil want to give good things. You want to bless your children, but you're still evil. You still don't do it right. You still make mistakes. There is so much more to who God is. And so don't get lost in the representations down here. God the Father is perfect. He is holy. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for doing a wonderful work here, Lord God, in our hearts and minds this morning. We know you have more to do, Lord God, as we partake in these elements that represent what you did for us. We don't take this lightly, Lord God, but we also don't take it in a front-slidden way as we deserve it. I deserve this today. No one here deserves this, Lord God. Not one person deserves it even more than the other, not even this spider. Fiery darts are always coming. And I don't want anybody to scream this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Pray your blessing over this, Lord God, as we partake in this small meal. Lord, it represents your love for us. The meal that's prepared for us, Lord God, whether in the presence of our enemies, there it is. God, you have preparations. Lord, you are the author and finisher of our faith. We don't have to write our journal. You've already written it. We're just illustrating. We're the pictures inside this journal. You're the words, Lord God, and we're living that word out. And it's a great privilege to just be the illustration, Lord God, of who you are and to be that light and salt.
At the feet of you whose crown, take my life, I'm letting go. I lift it up to you whose throne, and I will worship you, Lord. All
You have to have the holy fire of His Spirit burning inside of you, burning inside of you, burning inside of you, burning inside of you.